Rav Elchanan asks a question in Kovetz Ma'amarim. He asks like this: we know was Miriam Hanaviyah an apikores? Was Miriam Hanaviyah an apikores? We know the Rambam writes Miriam Gimli Karmer in a couple of places in the beginning in the Avdamin Perichelik, and the Rambam writes that one of the karm is to believe in Nevuah, in Nevuah period, to believe that Hashem communicates with people. And there's a separate ikur to believe in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, to believe that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is unparalleled. No other Navi has that level of Nevuah. And yet, what was the chait of Miriam HaNeviyah, Miriam HaTzedekes, the Rambam speaks highly of in the end of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, despite the mistake that she made, that she had Lashon Hara? Her mistake was that she was Mashve Moshe Rabbeinu L'Shar Neviyim, that she thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was like another Navi. So I asked Rav Elchanan, I don't understand, is it possible to say Hayitachin that Miriam HaNeviyah is Ein L'Chelek L'Olam Haba? Is it possible to say that Miriam HaNeviyah is Ein L'Chelek L'Olam Haba? So I want to discuss for the next few minutes, number one, why is this ikur so important? This ikur of Yud Gimel Karim. And number two, what is it about Moshe Rabbeinu that made him talk on such a level that he was unique from any other Navi that ever was and ever will be? And of course, along the way, you have some different Musar. If you look in the Perish, the Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, the Rav Chaim Elajiner, so he starts then explaining the first mission, Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai. Moshe got Torah Misinai. What was so special about Moshe Rabbeinu? And he explains that what was special about Moshe Rabbeinu is Chazal, I think the Zohar Kadosh explained that what makes Moshe different than Avraham Avinu, it says that Moshe was lo pasik taimei begavei, and Avraham Avinu was pasik taimei begavei. Meaning, when Hashem called out to Avraham, he said, Avraham, if you look in the trap, Avraham, pause, Avraham. When he called out to Moshe, it's Moshe, Moshe. There's no pause. So my high, what's the significance of that? There's a pause by Avraham. There's no pause by Moshe. Explains Rav Chaim Elajiner that by Avraham Avinu, by every person, there we have our guf, we have who we are down here in this world, and we have who we are up there, who we really are. Down here is like a shoe. Our body is like a shoe that covers the bottom of our neshama. Our main neshama's impact is in the olamos. And in this bottom olam, where we can do, this is like the shoe for our soul. So by every person, we have a body, we have a guf, we have gashmius, we have our self and our interests and our desires. And they create a little bit of a barrier between, there is a barrier between us, our gashmius, ourselves, and our ruchnius. And so that's that psik, that even by Avraham Avinu, it's Avraham, pause, Avraham. However, when we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, what is it? Moshe, Moshe. By Moshe explains the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah and other places that the Rambam, that Moshe Rabbeinu completely removed his guf. He completely removed the barriers of gashmius. He completely removed himself. He went up to Shemayim 40 days to receive the Torah. And that's Moshe, Moshe. And explains Rav Chaim Elajiner, the pasuk that we have in this week's Parsha, Vish Moshe Anav Mikal Adam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anav, not just the greatest Navi to ever live, but the greatest Anav to ever live. Anav, what we think of as being humble, explains Rav Chaim Elajiner, what's the most humble? To completely remove oneself. What did Avraham Avinu say? Anochi, again, Avraham Avinu, we don't compare nothing to Avraham Avinu, but the Medrash contrast Avraham Avinu, who's Avraham Avinu, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Avram said, Anochi Afer Ve'efer, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Nachnuma. Avram Rabbeinu said, I'm like dust and dirt, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, I am nothing. Ma, what am I? Nothing. And so Moshe Rabbeinu had this need of anava, he completely removed himself. Azma, so goes on, Rav Chaim Elajiner explains Now, when you reach that level and you completely remove yourself out of the equation, you completely remove the physical self, your interests, your desires, anything that's you, what are you left with? Dvar Hashem. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu gets Nevuah, it's Shechina Medaberes Mitol Grono. It's unadulterated Dvar Hashem. It's Shechina Medaberes Mitol Grono, as Chazal explained. That Moshe opens his mouth, but it's as though the Shechina is speaking. And so what's the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Chazal say, the Gemara Yevamos, Taf Memtes, other places, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is an Aspaklari HaMe'ira. And all other Nevi'im are Misnabein and Aspaklari She'enim'ir, which means, the Mepharshim explain this, that every other Navi, when he gets a Nevuah, he looks at it with his own interpretation. He gets an image, right, B'marva B'chidos, he gets a vision, he gets a dream at night, he gets pictures, the Nevuah is in his own language, it's something that he interprets. That's why you have Chazal say that Shtei Nevi'im are not Misnabei B'Signon Echad. No two Nevi'im can say the exact word for Nevuah, because they don't get a word for Nevuah. They get a picture, they interpret it, they put their own lens on. To be a Navi, you have to be a very, 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 very holy person. You have to be very, very Kadosh, you have to be enthralled with Hashem. And so you have the right glasses to look at that Nevuah, but that's what you're looking through. You're looking through a lens. By Moshe Rabbeinu Tzaspaklari, I mean, it's like looking through a clear glass. These glasses are a little bit dirty, but if you can imagine a completely clear glass, it's not like seeing a reflection of something, it's not like seeing something indirectly, it's seeing something directly, crystal clear, exactly. When Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Dvar Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the crystal clear Dvar Hashem. That's why it says that all Nevi'im were Misnabei, Kamar Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was Misnabei b'zeh hadavar. He knew exactly what Hashem said. Exactly what Hashem said. And so, why is this an ikur? Why is this so important? Obvious. Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us the Torah. He gave us the Torah from Hashem. But we want to know, when we get the Torah, are we getting for sure Dvar Hashem, no questions asked, no interpretations, Lote muchlefes, irreversible, no one will ever say, never mind, there's a new Torah. Only Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because only Moshe Rabbeinu got a Nevuah of Pe'al Pe'a Daber Bo, of Aspaklaria Me'ira, of a crystal clear Nevuah of this is Dvar Hashem, Zeh HaDavar. This is the word of Hashem. And so the Torah that we learn, the Torah Shebisav, and the Torah Shebal Peh, is from Moshe Rabbeinu, unfiltered, straight, unadulterated Dvar Hashem. And that's a necessary ikur, because we must believe that the Torah we study, the Torah we learn, is just that. It's Dvar Hashem, period. Greater than any other Nevuah that ever was and ever will be. And so now, so Kodim Kol, I want to quote an answer that I heard through Rabbi Hanan's question. Shabili smacked him when he answers and why his answer is not completely sufficient. And then I want to say another answer based on this. Rabbi Hanan says, a very simple answer. Was Miriam an apikores? Apikoreses? I don't know how you say. The women don't cause as much trouble as the men sometimes. But was Miriam an apikores? No, it was Nischadesh in the Parshan. This week's Parshan. Parshas Baloscha. Pe'al pe'a d'averbo b'marvelo b'chidos b'chol beis hinamanu. That was in this week's Parshan. It was Nischadesh. Needs the answer. That Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is the highest level of Nevuah. But there's a problem with that answer. The Ramban al-Torah writes, "V'gam b'chayaminu la'olam," that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that by Matan Torah, that the Jewish people already believed in Nevuah from before Matan Torah, but by Matan Torah they were going to believe in the unique Nevuah's level of Moshe Rabbeinu, pel pel daber bo. Already in Matan Torah, all of Klai Yisrael was supposed to realize that. And the Rambam also, if you look in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, seems to say that the Ikar Emuna in Moshe Rabbeinu happened at Har Sinai, when we all heard Hashem speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. And so Miriam HaNeviah and all Klai Yisrael should have already known it from our scene. I suppose Miriam HaNeviah thinking. So Rabbi Goldberg from Tal Yeshiva, who has in the footnotes over here, in the Nefesh HaChaim, in the Ruach HaChaim, excuse me, very nice teretz. He says, if you look, Rav Chaim Velazhner explains the Pesukim, beautiful diuk in the Pesukim of this week's Parsha. If you look in the Pesukim by Moshe Rabbeinu, what does that Kadosh Baruch Hu say? It says, Pel Pe Adaber Bo. If you look at a few times in the Pesukim, it says he's a Adaber Bo. He's talking in him. I would have expected the psukim to say, Adaber imo, I talk to him. Why are you talking in him? So Rav Chaim Lajev, that's exactly the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says his nevuah in Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shechin is medaberes b'tol grono, the Dvar Hashem directly coming out of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Torah. So now, what was the mistake of Moshe of Miriam and Aaron? Miriam knew that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was on Azal level. Miriam knew that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was a Shechin nevuah, but she made a mistake. You know, there are midrashim that say that Moshe and Miriam and Aaron, excuse me, have a role in Kabbalah Satorah and Nesina Satorah to Klal Yisrael. The reason why, I think there's a midrash, Chazal say, the reason why I have three aliyahs when we lay in on Monday, Thursdays, connected Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. That they were part of the Messiah Satorah to Klal Yisrael. So, Aaron and Miriam thought, Hello, Gam Banu Diber Elokim, Banu in us. She knew, we know already from our Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu's high level of Nevuah, but she thought maybe it's not unique. Maybe also me and Aaron have that level of Nevuah. Hello, Gam Banu Diber Elokim. That was her mistake. And to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, no, it was only Moshe Rabbeinu had that high level of Nevuah. And how did he attain that high level of Nevuah, explains Rav Chaim Velazhner, with Anava. He's Anav Mikol Adam, because he completely removed himself. Nach Numa, he is nothing. So now what? So what does that mean for us? You know, the Gemara in Perek Chelek says, Adam Lam is explaining the Pasuk, Adam Lamo Yulad, that a person made for Amel. What Amel? It must be Amel Peh, it must be Amel Torah, that a person is created for the Amelus of learning Torah. That's what you are created for. And indeed, not just is every individual created for that purpose. The whole world, the whole Bria is contingent on that. In Lo Brisi Yom V'Layla, if you don't learn Torah day and night, Chuko Shemayim V'Laretz Lo Samti. The whole world only exists because of the Torah, the Talmud Torah, that's Brisi Yom V'Layla, day and night learning. V'Trasa Yege Yom V'Layla. So we have to learn Torah. And if you look in the Rambam, in the rather famous Rambam, in the Hakdamah Perek Shel Mishnayos, and he explains, what does it mean when we say, Ein la kadosh baruch hu ba'olam ala dalet amos shalacha bovad? What does it mean? The only thing that Hashem has in this world is dalet amos of halacha, of sitting and opening up a Gemara, Seder Nezikin, Seder Nashim, Seder Moed, Kachim, dalet amos of halacha. What does it mean? The Rambam explains, everything in the world is pretty obvious if you think about it for a minute, especially if you believe that there's a God that created the world. Everything in the world is a tachlis. Everything in the world is a purpose. And so if you think about, some things are pretty easy. A tree is made for the fruits that it creates. Animals, some animals you can figure out what they're for. If you think about it, most things that are created in the world don't do too many things. If you have a safe or a book, it's for to read the words that are on it. There's not much else you can do with it. A bottle to drink from. Most things you can figure it out. But what is man created for? Taka, man can indeed do a lot of things. So what are we created for? What are we created for? So says the Rambam, it's obvious, not created for all the animalistic things we do, eating, drinking, you know, hanging out. That's all things that an animal can do. But what are we created for Chachma? And says the Rambam, what's the ultimate Chachma? Chachma Hashem, the Dvar Hashem, Yediyas Elokim. And so what are we created for? We're created to learn. That is the goal of man. He says all other Chachmos are there to serve the Chachma Hashem, Yediyas Elokim, Torah. All other chachmas are meant to serve that. And that is what it means when Chazal say, "Ein la kadosh baruch hu ba'olam ala dalet amos shalach bovad." Because that is what man is created for. The animals and the items are all meant to help us men do our mission. And man is created to learn Torah. To know the Dvar Hashem. That's what we're created for. So how do we do it? What do we have to do, Lamaisa? We're created to learn Torah. What are we going to do? What lesson are we going to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? How are we going to become as like Moshe Rabbeinu? And know Torah and learn Torah and know Torah and more Torah, more and more and more and more and more. How are we going to do that? So I want to give two etzes. Number one is what the Rambam writes over there in the Akdamah to the Perek Shel Mishnayos. In the Akdamah to the Perek Shel Mishnayos. The Rambam explains that, you know, I think Tosis and Ksubas quotes a Medrash. Achi espalal shi kanes lesocho dirbei Torah. Having espalal shi alti kanes lesocho, you know, too much food and drink. That sometimes part of the barrier that we create with our guf is quite literally the physical barrier of our physical guf. Now, I'm not suggesting that we overnight say we're going to become a parish. I'm going to skip lunch. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to enjoy my food. I'm not suggesting to do anything too radical, but there's a degree to which sometimes many of us put a little bit too much of an emphasis on our gashmias, and we can all curtail it a little bit. You know, I sometimes walk with my daughter into the lobby here when on my way to take her to school, because I just have to drop off my bag. And she said, it's like, Abba, I want to see you. I didn't know what she meant. So I want to see your face on the door. Oh, because a couple weeks ago we had like a night Seder Shabbos, so my face was one of the 10 faces on the door. So I said, you know, my face isn't there anymore. They took it down because it already happened, whatever. And then she's like, well, why is there a picture of pizza on the door? And I said it because, you know, they're going to give the guys pizza so they'll have more energy to learn. And I'm not saying... They made this sign because of you guys, so they're just following, you know, whatever messages you guys give them. So, but Lemaisa, I'm not saying it's bad to have a nice pizza lunch. I enjoy pizza also. I really do enjoy pizza and other foods also. We can go through a whole list after, really not now. But like, we have to remember what's our ikar, what's our tafel. How many of us perhaps spend a minute, 2 minutes time during a Seder thinking about what we ate for lunch, what we will eat for supper, what they're going to serve at the Siyum tomorrow? And like, it could be a little much. Even, you know, Chaim Velazhner says that our guf is like a shoe. You know, a shoe is really just meant to protect a person. It's not meant to, it doesn't have real, like, you know, but how much money do we spend? I've seen people that, like, when they get a mark on their shoe because their shoes want their shoes to look so nice that they have to, like, bend down and clean it up. Your shoe is meant to protect your foot. And like sitting there with like an alcohol pad cleaning your shoe. I'm not saying that you can look nice. It's nice to look presentable. It's important. I try to look presentable too, I hope. You can tell me if I'm doing a good job or not. But Lemaisa, like, we have to just, if we can, the more we curtail a little bit our gashmius and our connection to that, we can connect more to the ruchnius and to the Dvar Hashem. We all have those barriers. We can break them a little bit. There's another very, very important thing. What makes Moshe Rabbeinu so special is that he's able to bring over the Dvar Hashem because he's an Anav, because he gets rid of his biases, he gets rid of his own agenda. When we learn Torah, and this is a shtickle of Derech HaLimud point, and a shtickle just a Musar in general, from when we learn Torah, when we learn Halacha, of course, but all areas of Torah. What are we trying to do? Are we trying to take our Svara and shtup it into the Gemara, or shtup it into the Rishon? Or are we trying to figure out what does the Gemara mean? What does the Rishon mean? Because are we serving our own das, or are we trying to figure out the das, the Dvar Hashem? What Moshe Rabbeinu did is he made himself nothing, and he tried to figure out the Dvar Hashem, and he was able to give over to us the most pristine and pure form of Torah. And our goal, the biggest, you know, Gedolei Yisrael, they were Mechadesh Torah, of course, Chidush Torah, but the beauty of their Chidush was not what they were Mechadesh, in so much that they told us Pshat, right? Chazal tells us Pshat, Torah, Shat, Torah, Bet. Rishonim tells Pshat and Chazal. Achorim tells Pshat and Rishonim, by and large, right? This is what our goal is, to try to figure out what the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu got, the unadulterated pure Torah is. And we have Chazal, we have Rishonim, but don't try to insert your own thing when you're learning. Try to figure out what it's telling to you. You know, I think the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, Reb Nosson Adler, he didn't write any of his learning. And it says in the biography of the Chasam Sofer, in the Chutah Meshulash, that he said he didn't write down for 2 reasons. First of all, he said he never forgot anything he learned. He was such a bucky. And the other thing was, by him, he didn't feel like he had chidushim. When they would go in and ask a kasha and a Baal Amor, he would just say it over again, and he would say it over again, and the way he said it over, all the questions fell away. And so that's our goal. Our goal is not to like say something, you know, fancy, original. Sometimes the correct pshat is definitely a fancy pshat, no doubt. Sometimes it is. But your goal has to be just to get pshat on what the Rishon says. You know, just to close, when we think about this meaning of what anava is, that anava really is nachnu ma, what are we? We are nothing. We're not even afer ve'efer. You might think, what does this do to our self-esteem? After all, you know, I think the Mevinim say that self-esteem is something we need to work on to improve our self-esteem and not to knock ourselves out. But we have to be an anav to the most degree. There's no room for gaiva. So how does this fit in? I think the answer is pashut. We have to remember, you know, hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim. Everything we get is from Hashem. Therefore, al yisalel hachacham bechachmaso v'ashir v'ashro v'agibur v'gburaso. Don't be proud of anything that was God-given to you. The only thing you should be proud of is Haskav Edo Asi, knowing Torah and learning Dvar Hashem and knowing Dvar Hashem. Because if you think, if you build your self-esteem on your own gaiva, on your own qualities that Hashem decided to give you, or the money that your parents gave you, or whatever it is, whatever gift you may have, if that's what you build your gaiva on, it's limited. You're just a person. You're not really more deserving than anyone else. But if you make yourself nothing, then what you become is a kli for Dvar Hashem. You become a kli for the ultimate, eternal, infinite Ein Sof, the Dvar Hashem. And that's how you become an incredible thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is Rabban Shai Yisrael forever for Dori Dori. Moshe Rabbeinu is always Lokam Yisrael Kamoshe. Why? Because he was nothing. Because by being nothing, he was able to become a keli for Dvar Hashem. And so, we shouldn't think that we're nothing, we're meaningless. No, but the more nothing we are, the more meaningful we are. So let's hope that we can break down the barriers, the physical barriers of our gashmius, the barriers of our own limits, and try to tap into Dvar Hashem when we learn, and ultimately become that great level of Adam Amayur that we were created for, and become Kalim for the true, unadulterated Dvar Hashem.